Our Old Testament reading this evening comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. If you'd like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible, 1 Kings 19. We'll be looking at the first 8 verses. Before we read, let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of soul and spirit, to joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Father, we pray that as we read your word this evening, your holy word, we pray that you would pierce us to the heart. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 1 Kings 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from Matthew 17. Matthew 17, the first 8 verses. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. These are the words of an angel, the words of a messenger from the Lord. Arise and eat. This is a message from the Lord to Elijah. Elijah the prophet. Elijah, not so affectionately referred to as troubler of Israel. Arise and eat. This is a message from the Lord to a man who was on the run. A man who feared for his life, a man in the wilderness, a man in exile, a man alone, a man weary, a man disheartened, a man who was ready to die. Now, Elijah was in this state. Elijah was at this point because he received another message. Elijah was visited by another messenger. He was visited by another angel. The Hebrew word in these two cases are the same, verse 2 and verse 5. But this messenger, this first messenger, this first messenger, this first angel was not from the Lord. This first message was not from the Lord. It was from Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, wife of Ahab, king of Israel. Now, Jezebel was a Gentile. She was not a descendant of Abraham. She was one born outside of God's covenant people. And Jezebel was the daughter, we are told, the daughter of Ethbaal, which means with Baal, who was king of the Sidonians. So the queen sent this message to Elijah, and this is my translation of this message. Jezebel sent a message saying, hey, if I have my way, you're going to be dead by tomorrow. So Elijah, knowing the character of the queen, knowing the disposition of the queen, hearing this threat, this promise from the queen, he runs. He takes flight out of Israel, into Judah, out of Judah, into the wilderness, weary, afraid, alone, disheartened, ready to die. Now, this was a drastic turn of events for Elijah. Drastic turn of events. Only days before, Elijah had been on top. Elijah had been riding high. Elijah had been at the peak among the clouds. Elijah had been on the mountaintop. On the mountaintop, witnessing the presence and power of God, watching people return to God, watching people return to God, seeing the enemies of God defeated. You remember the story. It's found just one chapter back from our reading. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18. The setting was a mountain, Mount Carmel. On one side of the mountain stood Elijah, prophet of the Lord, alone. On the other side stood 450 prophets of Baal. Baal, the false god of the Sidonians. Baal, the idol that God's people had turned to. Baal, the idol that Ahab and Jezebel had promoted. So Elijah on one side, the prophets of Baal on the other, and God's people gathered together in the midst of them. God's people summoned by King Ahab, summoned by Ahab to the mountain. You had two altars, two bulls, one to the Lord, one to Baal, and then Elijah sets forth the challenge. Each side would prepare a sacrifice. Each side would call upon their gods. The God who answered by fire, the one who consumed the sacrifice with fire, he was the true God. That's the true God. So the prophets of Baal, they placed the sacrifice on the wood. Then they called upon Baal from morning to noon. They danced around the altar from morning to noon, hour after hour, in a frenzy of motion, in a frenzy of sound. They called upon Baal. And verse 26 of chapter 18 offers this simple remark. But there was no voice. No one answered. At noon, after watching this for hours, Elijah starts taunting these false prophets. He starts mocking them. He yells out, hey, maybe Baal's gone. And my kids love this next one. Elijah's like, hey, maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's asleep. Elijah says, maybe he's asleep. Cry louder. So what do the prophets of Baal do? They start crying out louder. And not only do they start crying out louder, they start cutting themselves. What a scene this is on the mountaintop. You got 450 guys dancing around an altar, screaming at the top of their lungs, blood flowing from them. And verse 29 says this, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah springs into action. First, he calls all the people to himself, essentially saying, hey, you're not going to see anything over there. Come on over here. And then he builds an altar. He builds an altar out of 12 stones, one stone for every tribe of Israel. He digs a trench around the altar. Then he prepares the sacrifice. And he has four jars of water poured over it. Water soaked the meat, water soaked the wood, water filled the trench, and then Elijah prayed. Verse Elijah called out to the Lord once, just once. And the Lord heard. And the Lord answered. He answered through fire. Fire rained down. Fire fell. Fire from the Lord. Fire from heaven. Fire consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the water. Can you imagine being there, witnessing that? When the people saw it, they fell to the ground. They fell on their faces. And this is what they said. This is what they declared. This is what they proclaimed. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And then they seized all the prophets of Baal and they killed them all. But at that moment, Elijah was on top. Elijah was on the mountaintop. God had answered his prayers. God had acted. People were transformed. People were turning to the Lord. False worship was overturned. Idolatry was rejected. Elijah was seeing fruit in ministry, fruit from his ministry. And then it all came tumbling down. And then it all turned quickly, in the blink of an eye. Elijah was running for his life. In the blink of an eye, he was in exile. He was in the wilderness. He was disheartened. He was disillusioned. He was weary. He was alone. He was ready to die. Does this sound like ministry? Does this sound like life in the church? One minute, you're riding high. One minute you are on the mountaintop, and the next minute you feel like you're on the run. The next minute you're weary, and you're broken, and you're ready to give up. Where are you right now? Pastors, where are you right now? Ruling elders, do you know where your pastors are right now? Are you up on the mountain? Are you up on the mountain right now? Are you experiencing success, ministry success? Are you seeing fruit? Are people turning to the Lord through your ministry? Is the Lord blessing your preaching? Is the Lord blessing your teaching? Are you bringing in new members? Are you baptizing? Is the church growing? Are you undertaking successful capital campaigns? Are you having budget surpluses at the end of the year? Are you starting exciting new programs? Are you hiring staff? Are you being missional? Are you blessing the community? Are you blessing the world? Are you seeing lives changed? Has the Lord used you to help defeat idolatry? Has the Lord used you to help slaughter unbelief, kill false doctrine? Is the Lord acting in your midst? Is He raining down fire from heaven, Holy Spirit fire from heaven? Now, don't hear me wrong. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not casting this in a negative light. Nor am I saying that all this has to happen simultaneously or should all happen at once. They're blessings. Each of those on the mountaintop is a blessing. Being on the mountaintop is a blessing. Being on the mountaintop is a gift from God. When Peter and James and John were up on the mountain with Jesus and they beheld Jesus in the beauty of his glory, the beauty of his divine glory, and they saw him with Moses and they saw him with Elijah, that was a blessing, a gift. Now, hopefully, you have had and will have mountaintop experiences or two or three or many more in your ministry. Hopefully, you will have many of those where you're riding high and you are seeing the Lord at work in your midst and you are witnessing fruit grow and ripen around you. But here's the challenge. The challenge is that pressure. That pressure that you have to be on the mountaintop all the time. The challenge is the pressure that you feel like you have to be on the mountaintop all the time. Pastors, including myself here, the challenge is that you feel that pressure to be on the mountaintop all the time. That you have to experience ministry success all the time. That fire will be raining down from heaven all the time. That people will be turning to the Lord all the time. That false belief is defeated all the time. That the church will be experiencing growth all the time. Now that pressure, that expectation can be external. You can feel it externally. You can feel it from sessions. You can feel it from congregations. You can feel it from colleagues. You can feel it from leaders of the church. You can feel it from courts of the church. And sometimes the expectation is explicit. I mean, you'll hear it explicitly. And sometimes it's just implicit. You'll leave with that message. And sometimes, and let's be honest here, sometimes the pressure is internal, not just external. But it's internal. It's from yourself. You think you should be on the mountaintop all the time. You think you should be calling down fire from heaven all the time. You think you should be slaying the prophets of Baal all the time. But here's what our scripture readings are telling us this evening. Our scripture readings are telling us you can't always be in the heights. You can't always be on the mountaintop. Now, Peter wanted to stay. Peter wanted to stay. Peter wanted to remain on the mountain with Jesus in his glory. He wanted to stay with Moses and Elijah. Do you remember what he says to Jesus? You remember what he says? Peter, he's riding high. Peter is caught up in the rapture of the moment. And Peter says this. This is from verse 4 of our reading from Matthew. Peter says, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here. It's good to be on the mountain. It's good to be on the mountain. It's good to want to stay on the mountain. Peter wanted to stay on the mountain. Peter wanted to build tents on the mountain, but Peter had to come down. He had to descend. With Jesus. Elijah had to come down. Elijah had to descend. It's good to be on the mountain, but you can't stay all the time on the mountain. You can't pitch a tent on the mountain. Not yet. Pastors, you can't stay on the mountain. You can't. Elders, you can't stay on the mountain. And you can't expect your pastors to stay on the mountain. Congregations, you can't stay on the mountain. And you can't expect your pastors to stay on the mountain. And most of the time, the rhythm of life and the rhythm of ministry is not on the mountaintop. It's just not that exciting. It's not that eventful as the mountaintop. It's not that dramatic as the mountaintop. It's more like farming. And that's the image Eugene Peterson uses for ministry. It's farming. It's slow. It's deliberate. It's hard work. It's patient work. You got to get your hands dirty. And you got to pray. You got to pray for the sun. And pray for the rain, and pray that the Lord grows, and pray that the Lord brings fruit. But there are also times, like Elijah, when you feel like you're on the run. There's also times, like Elijah, when you feel like you're running in fear, maybe running for your life, running from Jezebel. Times when you feel like you're in exile, times when you feel alone, times when you feel disheartened, times when you're weary, when you're burdened, when you're ready to give up. Have you been there? Are you there now? Do you have a Jezebel in your life? Now, maybe you have or have had an actual person or a group of people really out to get you. To get you out of their church. People who just don't like you, people who just don't want you, people who are set against you. And that happens. Or maybe your Jezebel is not a person or group of people. Maybe Jezebel is the evil one. Maybe Jezebel is the evil one speaking lies to you, speaking lies to your heart about your status with the Father, about your ministry, about your calling. Using the struggles of your heart, using struggles with past or present sin, using your struggles with failures, your struggles with insecurities, your struggles with pride, your struggles with idols. Or maybe your Jezebel is the evil one using circumstances in your life. Marital tension, health issues, rebellious children, to fill you with fear. Fear that you're going to be found or found out. To make you feel like you're running, to make you feel alone, to make you feel isolated. Or perhaps you're just weary. Maybe you just wake up every day weary, tired, worn out. Perhaps you're burned out. Maybe you're burned out trying to stay up on the mountain, trying to keep yourself up on the mountain. I've been there at great cost. Maybe you're just ready to give up. Well, if you are there, or whenever you find yourself there, the message to Elijah is also the message to you. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. Are you weary? Burdened? Disheartened? Disillusioned? Arise and eat. Are you running? Are you afraid? Struggling? Arise and eat. Are you in exile? Alone? Arise and eat. Are you ready to give up? Arise and eat. Jesus Christ stands ready to fill you. Ready to fill you, ready to nourish you, ready to sustain you and satisfy you. The one who died for you, the one who rose from the dead for you, the one who called you to be his own, the one who called you to office of elder is the bread of life. And he's the true vine. Now you've heard this. You probably heard it a lot, but do you really know it? You can't do it on your own. You can't. Arise and eat. Rest in Jesus. Rest on Jesus. And then here's one more challenge. One more challenge. Elders, have you asked your pastor how they're doing? How they're really doing. Do you really want to know how your pastors are really doing? Is there space somewhere for your pastors to be honest? And pastors, here's the challenge for you. And pastors, are you willing to be truthful about where you are? Are you willing to seek out a colleague and be truthful about where you are? One of my biggest regrets in ministry, I have a number, but one of my biggest regrets in ministry is not telling a session, not telling elders that I loved and respected, elders that I had ministered alongside of for a decade, that I needed rest. My pride would not allow that. I ran from Jezebel. Don't run. Don't run. Turn to Jesus. Arise and eat. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we are yours, bought with a price, a great price, the death of your beloved Son, Jesus. In him and through him, you have made us your children, your sons, and your daughters. Gracious Spirit, you are with us. Abide in us. You are with us on the mountain, and you are with us when we descend. You are with us when we're on the run. You're with us when we're alone. You're with us when we struggle or are weary or are ready to give up. Give us strength in the wilderness. Father, we thank you for the calling that you give us. We thank you for the communion you give us with one another. Thank you for this presbytery. Thank you for the relationships that we have. Father, continue to strengthen our bonds. Bless the work of this presbytery. We pray for the work of moderator Hunter Gray, for stated clerk Michael Heron. We give you thanks, Father, for all presbyters who serve on a variety of committees to ensure that ministry is complete. And we pray, Father, for all the churches in our presbytery, but especially for those churches who are struggling, who are embattled. We pray for congregations who are seeking pastors. Father, we pray for the sessions of this presbytery. Grant wisdom and faithfulness to elders. Father, we also pray for the teaching elders of this presbytery. We pray especially for those who are worn and weary. Fill them with your grace, Father. Fill them with your truth and your love. The grace and truth and love that you have shown us in the flesh. In person, in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.